Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, tonight, you know, I am praying because these 40 days, these times are a time that God can just transform us. He can change us. I am praying the Spirit of prayer come over you. That a revelation of prayer. We saw that simulcast in the Circle Maker, and I've been reading that book, and it's good. It is good. I mean, I read like four chapters, and I'm going, wow, I like this, because it just starts to stir up something on the inside of you. Starts to stir up. And I pray that the Spirit of prayer come upon the church. Because if the Spirit of prayer comes on the church, and the Spirit of prayer comes upon each and every one of us, our lives will totally change. Prayer is not something that you have to do. Prayer is not something that, you know, it's a duty to do. It's something that you get to do. I get to talk to my father. I get to talk. I mean, I talk to my dad. My dad lives in New York, and I talk to him on the phone. I Skype him on the computer. You know, I go, and once he figures out Skype. My sister helps him. Amen. He's got it figured out now. But for a while, it was a touch-and-go type of thing. But I can communicate with him. And prayer is a place of communication with our Father. And I pray the Spirit of wisdom and revelation over prayer come upon each and every one of us. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. That we might know the hope of His calling. That we might know the exceeding greatness of the riches that He has for you and us, the power that He has towards us. Amen. And when we understand that, our whole prayer lives will change. I pray for one thing. To get answers. If you don't get answers, why pray? Amen? And I believe God wants to take us to a place where we can get prayer answers. Where we can learn prayer and we can pray and God starts to move. Amen. I go and I think about prayer and you know, there's joy when God does things. When you see an answer, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when that comes, then you're walking around going, yes! Yes! It happened. It happened. It came through. God showed. And I think right now that God wants to show us that He can break through. Prayer's a side where we start to work with God in the spirit realm. Amen. You are working with God in the spirit realm. And so many of us, you know, we don't understand all about it. Amen. You're working with God in that world, in the atmosphere where things change. Amen. Prayer's not getting brownie points from God. And, oh, I prayed today, so I guess you love me. I prayed today. I prayed hard today, so you really love me. He loved you before. He loved you if you didn't pray today. Amen? His love towards us just abounds. We need to understand the love of God, that we don't do anything that we walk in condemnation, because He doesn't give us a spirit of condemnation. But He wants to take us to another depth. He wants to take us to another depth that our motivation for prayer is not out of what you can get. I don't pray so I can get. I pray because I love Him. I pray because when I got saved, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't grow up religious. I didn't grow up, you know, some people can say those prayers. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, they can whip them things off because they said them 100 times a day. Amen. But I didn't know how to pray. And when I got saved, I just said, hello, Jesus. Good morning. I want to know you. I got issues. And He goes, I know. He knew what He got when He got me. Yes. I didn't surprise Him. But I built a relationship by talking to Him. And I understood that if I start moving in the Holy Spirit and I start talking with Him, I can be co-laborers with Him. That I work with Him. and I can see and I can talk to him, and he opens up and things start happening in my life. And God wants to build our prayer life. God wants to build us to get closer to Him. The disciples in the book of Luke, I think it's in Luke 11, said Jesus was praying in Luke 11, 1, I think it is. Jesus was praying, and when Jesus was praying, they were watching Him. The disciples were watching Him, and when He got done, they went, whoa. They didn't come up and they didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to preach. Jesus, teach us how to cast out demons. Jesus, teach us how to heal the sick. Jesus, teach us how to do this. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because you got the goods. They saw His prayer and they said, there is something there. They saw His prayer and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray like that. Lord, get us into the place where we can know You and have that. Jesus, I bet when Jesus got down and said, Father, I bet the anointing was intense. And they looked at it, and here these guys have been walking with Him, and they said, I want that. I want what He's got. And God's no respecter of persons. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give you that relationship where you can get alone and pray with Him and talk to Him. I remember times, you know, even when my kids were young, I'd come home and my wife would be in the bedroom and she'd have the kids on each side. And they'd be sitting there, they'd be kneeling in the bedroom and she'd be praying away. And they'd be playing or they'd be talking. And all of a sudden, the presence of God, and she'd be praying. Building a relationship. And you and I can get in that place where we start to pray, where we start to say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to get that relationship. Teach me how to walk with You. Amen. See, there was something about His life. And that's what we need, is we need a heart to seek Him. Seek Him tonight. Get a hold of Him. Learn how to get answers. I want to go and minister a little bit on you getting answers from heaven. Because that's what we want. You getting answers for your life. You getting answers for your situation. You getting answers for those things in your life. You getting answers to your prayer. God wants to bless you. That's why it says in Psalms 5:12, He says, You, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor You'll surround him like a shield. God's favor wants to be upon you. God's favor that when you walk in the room, people say, I want what You've got. There's something on you that people, when they hear you pray, they say, that person touched heaven. That person touched heaven. That you get to the place where just like it says where the angels were ascending and descending unto heaven, your prayers go up and the answers start coming back. Where you start praying. And God wants to do that tonight. And I believe in this time, as we're taking these 40 days, you can take and see that start to happen. I want to read a story in Matthew 17. And starting in verse 14, it said, About a man with a demon-possessed son. It says, when they come to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffering, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I bear you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Here this man brings Jesus, or comes to Jesus with his son and says, my son's an epileptic. He throws himself into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples. And they prayed for him. And he couldn't. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And Jesus turns and says, oh faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? He comes, he prays for him, and instantly the young boy is saved. Now the thing that's funny about this story, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, here they were in a big multitude, and nothing could happen. But privately, they come to Jesus. They go at night, they say, because you know why they didn't go in the public and ask him? Because he would have told them out in public. He would have said, because of your unbelief. But instead, privately they come and say, Jesus, why couldn't we heal him? And he says in the next verse, he said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, he says. And Jesus said, assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Amen. This kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. We hear lots of times sermons on faith that say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be moved. It shall move and be cast into the sea. And we understand that side of faith, and we believe. But he said, howbeit this kind come out just by prayer and fasting. And you think about it, and I've even heard different people say, well, this was a hard demon, so it needed fasting. You know, when you're dealing with demons, yeah, church, you're supposed to deal with demons. When you are dealing with demons, you're supposed to fast and get a hold of God. They bring somebody to you, you say, wait, wait, wait. And you run off fast. I'll be back tomorrow. You come back. No. And sometimes people think it's different types of demons that you need to be fasting. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus in Matthew 10:1, he'd already called his disciples to him and says he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. So it wasn't the demon was stronger, because he'd already given him powers over demons. He'd already given him power over sickness. It was because of their unbelief. Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. And I think lots of times when we start to pray for different things, there's a ceiling to our faith. There's a ceiling that's above. We can pray just so far. But we say, well, when I pray for that, I can pray for colds. But if somebody's got a backache, I don't know. I don't do backaches. I can pray for their backache, but I don't know. That person is sick. And there's a ceiling to your faith. And Jesus wants to break you through that ceiling tonight of unbelief. Jesus wants to break you through that ceiling where you can start to pray and you can say, nothing's going to be impossible. I will speak to that mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be done. See, you and I are in that place. He says, how be it? How does it happen? By prayer and fasting. You like hearing sermons on going hungry? We're going to speak on not eating. Not fun. I like to eat. I like cheesecake. I like steaks. I like different things. I like them. Amen. And you go and you get in this place that God says, you want to go to another dimension? It's going to be prayer and fasting. It's going to be a lifestyle that you have where you will get apart with God, where you'll go and you'll lay a hold of Him, where people don't stop in their faith, but nothing is impossible for them. Where you've gone and you look at something and you say, let's see it. I had a guy walk in my office this week and I said, how you doing? And first thing he said, I'm not doing too good. He said, I had this neck thing has killed me. I can't move for 2 days. He's just going. I said, well, let's pray. And I just laid hands on him, said, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, set him free. Can you do it at work? Yeah. You know, you can do it at work. You can find a place you can do it at work. I mean, I don't need to get right in front of my boss and start, oh, shandalaraba. Yeah. He might not be my boss too long. Might cast the demon out of him. No. You can erase that one. But you can find times. And I prayed for him. I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray health and healing right now. Take the pain and set him free. And he turns around and goes, wow. 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 I said, praise God. Praise God. And I went on. Went on. God wants you to come into places where nothing will be impossible to you, where you can stand and you can walk in what you have, where you can do what the Bible says in Mark 16, where these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak in other tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. And they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall. These signs shall follow them. These signs shall follow them that believe. That we are believers and we can get in that place. But lots of times we have that ceiling. And to break through that thing and start to build your faith, you have to start to work and say, you know what? I am going to fast. I am going to get serious with God. I'm going to walk in that place. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And God wants to get you into that place. What fasting is not is God. Fasting is not just going without food. That's called dieting. No, that's called starving. That's called not fun. Fasting is not that place where you just go without food, but fasting is a place where you get a hold of God and there is a hunger that comes on the inside. A hunger for Him. Like never before. In Psalms 42, 1-3, and it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say, where is your God? My tears have been my food. My hunger for Him has been my food that will sustain me. My hunger for Him, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to get to the place to know Him deeper. And that's why fasting breaks through those things. It says later in that chapter, the deep calls into the deep. That you want to get to the deep places of God. You're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to get close to Him. I'm going to take some time in prayer. I'm going to take some time and fast. I'm going to set aside some time in my life that I can go and see what you have for me. That's just a glimpse of the intimacy that you can have with Him. To have a close relationship with Him. So when you're going through your trials, you can talk to Him like a friend. You won't start accusing Him. You won't start running back the other way. You say, hello, Lord, I know You are faithful. You're faithful. You are good. You love me. I thank You, Lord, because You've built up your spirit man and you're walking in your spirit man. You know, there's things that happen when you start to fast. When your flesh cries out. Maybe not yours. Mine does. My flesh doesn't like it. And you start thinking. And it's funny because different things will happen. Last year when we had a fast, the day... And I was starting a fast, a longer fast, and I was doing it kind of before the church did their 21-day fast. And so I start this fast, and the next day I come to church, and we had something going on, and there was all these donuts out there on that thing. Ever have that happen? I mean, they wouldn't come the week earlier. They came that week. You know. And all these donuts, and I'm walking by and I'm smelling the things. Going, fill me, fill me, fill me. No, my flesh is just crying out for donuts. I go to work that week. And when I go to work, this guy goes, hey, they were having this special thing. And lots of times where we work, the guys will cook on the barbecues and stuff. The guys go, hey, you want to come eat with us? And I said, no, thanks. They said, yeah, you got to. They said, we bought you a steak. I said, what? I said, no, thanks. And that, and he goes, listen, he said, I got you a big steak like this and I wanted to invite you. You got to come eat with us. I mean, he just kept going on and I'm just going, no, thanks. You know, and inside my mind is going, well, I can start my fast again tomorrow. And I said, no. And finally I said, okay. I said, I'm fasting, so I really don't want to right now. Thanks. He goes, well, eat fast. He said, that's all. He goes, eat fast. And I go, oh, great. No, thank you. Yeah, okay. He says, I don't know about you. And he left. But I tell you something. The devil will set you up every time. He'll bring those things around you and your flesh will start crying out. Your flesh will start saying, I want to do this. I want to do that. Amen. But God will reward you openly. God will reward you openly. God has an open reward for you if you take this time. It says in Matthew 6, there's three different things it brings out. In Matthew 6 in the NIV, it says in verse 3, it says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. The King James Version says, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That says he's looking himself. He says, I'm going to reward that person. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, but do it secretly. Goes down to verse 6, he says, when you pray, enter into your closet, it says in the King James Bible, in the NIV, I think it says, enter into your room. Enter into your room, and when you go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. And the Father who is in the secret will reward you openly. It says, when you give and when you pray. You know, just a quick side trip about that. I was praying one morning years ago, and as I was praying, and I've shared this before, all of a sudden God started speaking to me, and he says, enter into your closet and pray. This scripture came up. Enter into your closet and pray. And I'm thinking, God, what do you mean? I'm alone in the bedroom here. What do you want? Enter into your closet. I can get in the closet if you want. You know, I talked to God, you know, I can get into my closet if you want, but he says, your closet. So I finally started getting it. You know, it takes me a while. I got out my Strong's lexicon, Greek and Hebrew lexicon, and I looked up the word closet. And it said a storage chamber. The word was tamion, something like tamion, and it had the number there. It said a storage place. A secret room, and then it said a magazine, and it said, what was the other word that was powerful? It was, what is the place in the military where you go? No, not army, for medical. Dispensary, I think, no, it wasn't dispensary. I got it. I thought it started with an M, and I can't think. I'm just going off. But I looked up these words. And one word said magazine. And I looked it up and it said a place where ammunition is stored. And the other one said, was a word for where medical aid is given. When you're in your closet, it's a storage chamber. When you go into your closet and pray, the answers are there. New eyes. New ears. Ammunition to take on the devil. All these things are in your closet. And when you go into your closet and you start to pray, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. When you give and when you pray. And then the third one says, when you fast. In verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. When you get in that place, when you, it said when you, not if you fast, not if you give, not if you pray, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Your Father will see the sacrifice that you're giving, that you are there, and you aren't in front of people saying, this is how I pray, and you just, this is how I fast, this is how I give, look at me. And that it is something that you and Him get to close together, and He says, I'm going to bless that person. I'm going to touch their needs. I'm going to break through for them. I'm going to show them that place. Amen. And God wants to show us this. Amen. See, it's when you... Fasting isn't supposed to be just for Pastor Gary. Just for some monks here and there. Just for an anointed few or for a special occasion. Fasting is something that we say, you know, it's time I got to do some business here. I got to get close to God. I got to do some business here because I want to break through. I remember one year that we had sickness was hitting our house like crazy. And the whole house, they were all sick and bad sickness and stuff. And they were all sitting and I'm going, oh, and finally I said, devil, that's it. This is war. I got down and I started fasting and praying. And it didn't happen the first day or the second day or the third day, but it was like 7 days. And when you're doing construction and you're drinking water, it's like 7 days. It's long. It's long. And I was sitting there, but all of a sudden, that day, boom, something. I felt something go, and they were all healed. Same time. Just boom. They got healed. God touched them and set them free. Sometimes you got to get serious with God. Sometimes you got to get in that place, amen, where you say, you know what? I want a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. I want a lifestyle. It's a normal part of a Christian life. It's a normal part. And lots of times we've never even tried it, or if we do, it's like you don't understand it. You don't understand. But it's our reasonable sacrifices, says Romans 12:1, that we offer up ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know what's wrong with living sacrifices? In the Old Testament, they'd take something, cut its throat, throw it on the altar. But in the New Testament, they say we are living sacrifices. So we get on the altar, but we're alive, so we get up pretty quick. When the heat starts coming, we get up. But it's our reasonable service. Over in Isaiah 58, they were praying with the wrong attitude, and they were fasting with the wrong attitude. And down, starting in verse 6, it says in Isaiah 58, it says, is not, God is speaking to them. He says, is this not the fast that I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness unto the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke, break every chain, break every chain. We sing, breaking every chain. This is a fast that you want to see the chains broken. You can break every chain by fasting. He goes on and he says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? This is powerful because he says, you start fasting and you're going to have a hunger for the world. You're going to have a hunger for those that are lost. When you start fasting, it'll show you how to get in that place, amen, that you'll feed the hungry and you'll start to move in those areas and you won't hide yourself from your flesh. Because when you start fasting, your flesh is going to come out. When you start fasting, you are going to get in a place where you see those things and it starts cleaning up that stuff on the inside of you. It says, then your light shall break forth like the morning and your healing shall spring forth speedily and your righteousness shall go before you and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call upon the Lord And the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and He will say, Here I am. And if you take away the yoke of your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness, here in the midst of your fasting, it'll get rid of those critical things in your life, where you're pointing fingers, and you're critical, and you're speaking things that are negative. It'll help your tongue. Amen. It'll help you in a place. When you get in a place, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn as in the darkness. In another version it says, then your light shall dawn in the obscurity, and your darkness shall be as noonday. Your obscurity shall be as noonday. That place where you've been obscure, that place that you've been off to the side, that you think you've been forgotten, that you don't know where's God, all of a sudden that will come to the light. Your obscurity will be gone. Your darkness will be gone. You'll come in a place, amen, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden. Here's where your life will start to prosper, and the like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build up the old waste places. Those things, those old waste places, those things that you thought were lost, God will start to go and restore those things. Amen. He will restore those things. Oh, those things that the canker worm has eaten and the moth has eaten, God will bring back and say, I have not forgot you. I have not left you aside. I have not done. But He will start to restore in your life. And it says, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, and the restorer of the streets to dwell, the repairer of the breach. Those things that have been broken, those family relationships that have been broken, those people that have been lost in your life, those hurts and wounds that have caused a separation. When you fast, God says, I will get involved and I will restore your children. I will restore those relationships. I will bring it back together like it's supposed to be. Amen. Because of you getting close to Him and building yourself a fasting life. Amen. See, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it, and we don't understand it, but God wants to go and show you how to break the powers of darkness around you. Break the powers of darkness in those areas. Amen. Fasting breaks the power of darkness that tries to stop the will of God. In Daniel chapter 10, we hear about a Daniel fast. Daniel fasted for 21 days, and it says he ate no pleasant food. He ate no pleasant food. Amen. He got in a place where he didn't do a total fast, but he said, you know what? I'm going to do a fast from certain things, those delicacies. I'm going to do a fast where I don't eat the cheesecake. Where I don't eat those things that you really like and crave. And I'm going to get in a place maybe with vegetables and maybe just light things, maybe eating light meals, maybe skipping a meal here and there. A Daniel fast where you go and you say, you know what? I'm going to go and cut back. I'm going to set a certain time aside. And Daniel set a certain time aside. He set aside for 21 days and said, I'm going to go and fast this. I'm going to lay a hold of God. I'm going to, and we do it in different ways. We do it like that, where we say, you know what, I'm not going to eat the sweets. I'm getting off all sugar. You say, is that big? If you're addicted to sugar, it is. If you like those chocolate milkshakes and those different things, it is. Amen. It's a sacrifice unto your life. And Daniel prayed, and he laid a hold of God. And God moved. God moved. The angel came to him and said, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to pray, from the first day, your prayers were heard. Your prayers were heard, and your answer was coming. We think lots of times we fast and we go, oh, God, and we start praying and we say, God, when are you going to answer? Your answer's coming. Your answer's on the way. Your answer is moving. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, it said there, don't fear, Daniel, in verse 12. He said, well, first in verse 11, he says, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved. Because God is no respecter of persons. You are greatly beloved, just like Daniel. You are greatly beloved. Amen. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I now have been sent to you. And while he's speaking this word, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, the words you have heard, I have come. Your words were heard and I have come because of your words. Amen. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone. And there were there with the kings of Persia. So we go and we see there was a war in the atmosphere. Lots of times when you have a battle, it's not just in the physical. That's why it says we do not war against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in the air. We war against the spirits. And there's a warfare that you have to break through. And you start praying and you're going, Father, I believe. And sometimes when you're praying, I still got an hour or two. Sometimes when you're praying, you go and you get here and you start to lay a hold of God and you're going, and it feels like a press. It feels like a press. It feels like a press. And you get there and about a little while later it feels, boom, you feel a release on the inside. You feel a release. And I tell people that when we pray, I say, that's not the time to get up and say, well, it's done. Yes, I got the victory. And they walk. That's the time you broke through. Now you can do business. Now you can do business. Now you can say, oh, by the way, devil, let go of my children right now in the name of Jesus. I have victory and I have authority. Your faith, that ceiling, broke. That ceiling to your unbelief broke. And you went that other dimension. Now you can sit there. And before you know it, you've prayed an hour and you didn't even realize it. Or 2 hours. You've gone through into another dimension in your prayer and you're sitting there and you're going, yes! And by the way, my cousin's sick and I rebuke that sickness right now in Jesus' name. And by the way, and you start praying and you broke through. Amen. And you're fasting. You're setting aside some time to say, God, I want to know you and I want to get close to you and I want to walk into that place. Amen. And heaven opens up before you so you can go and build your relationship with Him. Sometimes it's a fight, but we win. We win. Don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn yourself. If you fast and you I went and gave up. In-N-Out was calling me. Let it. I mean, just start again. Just go again. Just go again. Say, Father, I go and I'm getting close to you. Every step you do is a step closer to Him. Every step you do is a step closer to seeing your victory. Every step you do is getting more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you go and fast and pray, you can find the will of God for your life. We sit, we wonder, what God, what do you have, God? What do you have for me? Where is it? And we get in this place of wandering the will of God. And when we fast, God starts to move, amen, and starts to show us His will. Saul, in Acts chapter 9, he fasted and he was knocked off his horse and he fasted for 3 days. I think if God knocked me off a horse with lightning, I think I'd want to fast for a couple days too. He fasted for 3 days and all of a sudden, then it was given his calling. Paul, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do this. And it was given to him. Peter in Acts 10 was fasting on the rooftop. And all of a sudden a revelation came to him. Go to the Gentiles. Quit being stuck to your own people. Go into the world. Go to the Gentiles. Go to all of them. Revelation came as he fasted and laid a hold of God. Fresh revelation comes. Fresh vision. If you want a fresh vision and fresh revelation, go to the place where you set aside a little bit of time. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Set aside a little bit of your flesh and say, you know what, I'm going to set this aside and that aside. I want a breakthrough. I want a breakthrough. I want to see something change and I'm willing to do that. I see in, in Joel chapter 2, verse 15. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. God is calling His people to come back to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And it doesn't just come as a place that we do, you know, well, we do it January 1st for the year. That is good. But it's a time where we set some time apart here and there. It's not a time to manipulate God. It's a time to get to know Him and start to walk in a whole different place. He says, and He'll cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And He says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. And it shall come to pass afterward, after you fast, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Fasting prepares you for a new anointing. Fasting prepares you for a whole new level in your walk with God. Amen. As you go and stand and go through it. Fasting and prayer, you get to know your God. And people will look at you when you pray and they'll say, whoa, I want that. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray like the disciples did for Jesus. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3 and 4. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together and asked help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Amen. You get in a place when you're in a battle. They were in a battle. The whole nation was in a battle. And Jehoshaphat said, we're going to fast. We're going to break this thing. When you're in a battle, fast. When you're in a battle, pray. When you're in a battle, come into that place. Amen. And it says, I think in verse 13, O God of our fathers, he turned and he said, Are you God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Then he goes on and he says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants? Funny, when you start fasting, a boldness will come upon you that you can talk to God and you can say, God, you said this in your word. Aren't you the God that drove out the inhabitants? Aren't you the God that is above all? Boldness will start to come upon you when you build that relationship in prayer and fasting, and you get in a place and you can start to pray big prayers. Big prayers. We need to pray big prayers. Amen. We need to pray prayers that are bigger than us. Prayers that take God. Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer because he needed God. They were going to go and get annihilated by the enemy. He needed God or he was going down. And we get in a place where we have to pray and we say, God, I need you. I've had somebody say, well, I don't know if I believe in 500 people. I don't know if I believe 1,000 people getting saved this year. Well, there's a ceiling to your unbelief. Amen. We can pray big prayers. And you start praying big prayers and you say, well, this side's pretty empty over here. I don't know about it being filled. I'm counting the seats. I'm counting more seats we're bringing in. You get in a place where you say, God, it doesn't matter. Well, nobody got saved this week. Well, that's easy for God. God can save 1,000 next week. God delivered the nation in one day. Jehoshaphat prayed. And when Jehoshaphat prayed, God sent angels. We have angels. When Jehoshaphat called a fast and said, we are all fasting and we're going to believe God. God sent angels to the place. God said, don't fear. The battle's not yours, it's mine. Don't fear in the midst of it. He said, the battle is mine. And they went there And as they went there, one day, the enemy was all wiped out. They didn't even lift up a sword. God did it. The enemy was annihilated before them. And if you read the rest of the story, it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil. And one day, God went and delivered them, and it took them 3 days for all the goods they got out of it. God says, not only that, I'm going to restore you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to help you in the middle of your trial. See, fasting's powerful. Fast, it's not just a four-letter word. It's something there, it's for you. It'll change you. It'll change your situation. Amen. Amen. Fasting. Jesus fasted 40 days. 40 days. And Satan tempted him. Satan comes and he tries to attempt. He comes to lie to us when we fast. But God breaks those things. God breaks those things. Amen. As we lay a hold of Him, as we get a hold of what He has. And what I say is, don't be condemned. You may not go 40 days, but take one day. Take some food, partial food, a meal, what you set aside. Fasting breaks all kinds of things. It'll break poverty. Solomon fasted and he was the richest man in the world. Joseph fasted and God elevated him right up. Daniel fasted, God elevated him right up. Amen. God has good things for His people. And we get in a place where we start to fast. Nothing will be impossible. Jesus said, you'll look at that mountain that's in front of you. And that mountain may look big. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but He does. He does. And as you get in that place, your faith will rise up and you'll say, mountain, be gone. Mountain, be gone. Move. Move. You won't spend your life going around the mountain and around the mountain. You'll tell that mountain, get out of the way. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now for these people. I pray the blessing of God. I pray Your revelation of what we spoke tonight come upon us. I pray a hunger for You that is deeper and greater. And I ask You right now, touch these people. In Jesus' name, touch them right now. Touch them right now. Do miracles in this place tonight. Miracles in this house tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, You touch mountains and pull them out and cast them into the sea. I thank You, Father. And I ask You, Father, right now, let us come closer to You. Break the ceiling of unbelief on each and every one of our lives. Break the ceiling of unbelief that we can go higher in You. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Father, right now. The blood of Jesus over every single person. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to go and pray, but before we do, if there's anybody in here that's sick, I'd like to just pray for you real quick. Because God wants to heal. Amen. Amen. Why don't you come forward? If you want prayer real quick, I'm just going to pray real quick. Doesn't take long. Doesn't have to be deep and heavy. I may not know what your mountain is, but He does.